What separates the great thinkers from the average minds? Why do some people navigate life's complexities with remarkable clarity while others remain trapped in confusion? John Dewey's groundbreaking work, How We Think, offers profound insights into these questions. Written in 1910, this revolutionary text remains astonishingly relevant today, especially in our era of information overload and critical thinking crises. Dewey distinguishes between ordinary mental wandering and something far more valuable, reflective thought, the active, persistent, and careful consideration of any belief in light of the grounds that support it. This higher form of thinking represents humanity's greatest intellectual achievement and holds the key to unlocking our full cognitive potential. Imagine Columbus questioning the flat earth theory when others accepted it without hesitation. This exemplifies true reflective thinking, examining evidence, testing hypotheses, and considering implications. Unlike casual mental wandering, reflection always begins with perplexity or doubt, a forked road situation demanding resolution. When you notice cooling air during a walk and wonder if rain approaches, you're entering reflective thought. The observation suggests rain as a possibility, but instead of mere association, you examine the connection between what you observe and what it implies. This process involves two essential elements: a state of doubt that stimulates thinking, and an act of searching for evidence to resolve that doubt. What makes reflective thinking so valuable is that it frees us from purely impulsive or routine action. Without thought, we would be moved only by instincts and appetites, essentially pushed from behind. Reflection allows us to act based on the absent and future, using present things as signs of experiences yet to come. Though thinking appears natural, it requires cultivation. Drawing inferences involves reaching beliefs through chains of reasoning, making errors possible. As John Locke noted, our beliefs, examined or not, shape every decision through the invisible powers in our minds. While thought elevates us above instinct, it introduces risks animals don't face. A lion's inherited hunting instincts rarely fail, but humans can devise elaborate yet misguided strategies. The more central thinking becomes to human affairs, the more costly poor thinking proves. Education must work with existing mental capacities rather than create them anew. The learner must take initiative, as teaching only succeeds when it engages powers already present, much like how a coach shapes existing athletic potential rather than creating it. Curiosity provides the raw material for thought. As the Greeks observed, wonder drives science forward. The curious mind explores constantly, developing through three stages: physical manipulation, social questioning, and intellectual problem solving. Suggestions, ideas about what we haven't directly experienced, emerge naturally from our encounters. It is not we who think, thinking is rather something that happens in us. True thinking develops when we gain control over these suggestions, which vary in their ease, range, and depth. School environments often stifle rather than nurture reflection. Teachers unconsciously transmit their mental habits through teaching, and by accepting sloppy thinking, they inadvertently reinforce it. Most remain unaware of their own mental peculiarities, making themselves the default standard for judging students. This transforms students into observers of teacher preferences rather than true learners. Is this right? Becomes, will this satisfy the teacher? Instead of, does this satisfy the problem's conditions? The educational system's focus on products rather than mental processes, particularly the emphasis on correct answers, is especially harmful. Product-focused education requires only subject knowledge from teachers, while process-focused education demands deeper preparation and insight into individual minds. While life provides natural regulation through direct feedback, a burnt child learns about fire through consequence rather than lectures, this natural training has limits. Without immediate consequences affecting well-being, there are few checks on false beliefs, allowing even intelligent people to maintain irrational views in consequence-free areas. What's conventionally termed logical represents the trained adult mind, a sophisticated endpoint rather than a starting point. The ability to divide subjects, define elements, and group them by principles represents capacity after thorough training. It's fundamentally misguided to suppose an untrained mind can begin where the expert stops, just as we wouldn't expect a novice musician to perform complex symphonies without first mastering basic scales. The mind at every development stage has its own distinctive logic. Children demonstrate this through their natural problem-solving approaches. Watch a young child experiment with different ways to climb a challenging playground structure, and you'll witness natural logical progression in action. Discipline of mind emerges gradually through engagement with meaningful challenges. It represents original native endowment transformed through consistent exercise into effective power, much like how physical exercise develops natural athletic ability into refined skill. When discipline is properly conceived as habitual power of effective mental attack, it becomes identical with genuine freedom. This freedom isn't mere absence of constraint, but rather the presence of capability. Reflection moves between isolated facts and meaningful connections, like a detective connecting clues. This involves two movements: inductive, moving from partial data to a comprehensive whole, and deductive, starting with proposed meanings and working back to verify facts. A doctor exemplifies this process by observing symptoms, forming a potential diagnosis, then checking for confirming evidence. Effective thinking requires interplay between specific observations and general meanings, similar to how scientific theories develop and evolve. Scientific thinking follows this pattern with greater rigor. Ideas become working hypotheses that guide investigation rather than hasty conclusions. When precisely executed, this process combines inductive discovery with deductive proof. Empirical thinking relies on habits from random experiences. Someone predicting rain from a red sunset isn't perceiving actual connections, but associating frequently paired events. While often accurate within narrow contexts, empirical knowledge cannot validate its conclusions, leading to persistent misconceptions. Scientific method improves upon empirical thinking by breaking down observations into precise components. Rather than accepting apparent explanations, it systematically varies conditions to identify specific causal factors. Productive thinking balances unconscious assumptions with conscious analysis. Education should foster minds that can move fluidly between analytical thinking and intuitive flow, combining playful curiosity with serious inquiry. Effective teaching bridges learners with cultural heritage by connecting educational material to personal experience, expanding it into deeper understanding. This approach preserves childhood wonder while developing mature analytical capabilities. The scientific method transforms our relationship with the future by replacing past routines with intelligent investigation. Rather than waiting for patterns to emerge, it actively creates knowledge through deliberate study, giving concrete support to the concept of progress. The path to better thinking lies in cultivating questioning courage, investigative patience, and connective wisdom. In an age of quick reactions and surface-level engagement, the reflective mind remains our essential tool for navigating uncertainty.